Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer, and this is Double Coverage, all things Ole Miss and Mississippi State, a production of the Daily Journal coming to you for the next half hour or so. Logan, how are you, man?
Doing good, Parrish. Kind of enjoying a little bit of downtime right now before things get cranked up on Friday with the start of bowl practices, and then I'll be, you know, full steam ahead through Christmas with all of that. So just kind of enjoying a little bit of downtime, not as much as I had hoped for during the month of December, but things are what they are, and I haven't had as busy a morning as you have today.
Yeah, you know what happens in downtime, and that's breaking news. And so we have that to talk about on the Ole Miss beat. Hugh Freeze announcing changes to his coaching staff, one of them a surprise, one of them really not a surprise. Dan Werner, his co-offensive coordinator, really the lead offensive coordinator there and quarterbacks coach. Dan Werner will not return, nor will Barney Ferrer, an administrative assistant who has been on leave. He also will not return, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Folks, want to remind you about a couple of other podcasts to search for. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast coming to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. And also check out Prep Rally for all things high school sports with Blake Morgan, Gene Phelps, and Brad Locke. That comes to you every Wednesday. And Logan and I are here for you every Thursday or Friday, give or take, depending on what news is breaking and where we are with double coverage. So let's talk a little Ole Miss and Mississippi State right now. Logan, we'll start with that breaking news. You know, when you finish so near the bottom of most defensive categories, I think people who were expecting change were kind of expecting more of it on that side of the football at Ole Miss. It was announced shortly before kickoff in the Egg Bowl that Dave Womack, the defensive coordinator, was going to retire and therefore leave a vacancy there for Freeze on that side of the ball. So a lot of names have been tossed around for defensive coordinator, but no other changes really had been announced until today. And that is Dan Werner, who has been Freeze's only offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. He was hired shortly after Freeze got the job in late December of 2011. These two coached together on Ed Ogeron's staff back in the earlier parts of the 2000s, 5, 6, and 7, those seasons there. So they were together then, and Freeze turned quickly to Dan Werner when he needed a coordinator after getting the Ole Miss job. And in the release today, really, you know, it's clear that this is Hugh Freeze making this change, and it reads as though it's a performance-based change, you know, when he talks about how difficult decisions are and things of this nature. And now you look at this offense, Logan, they put up a lot of yards, but they were not as efficient in the passing game toward the end of the season. Now, part of that had to do with, you know, you had an injury to your starting quarterback, but you had a very talented freshman come in Shea Patterson taking over the job there. And you know, you had a lot of injuries on your offensive line. Bottom line is Hugh Freeze, after the Egg Bowl, said he thought that side of the football was in decline. And so today he announces that he will be looking for two new coordinators now, not only the defensive coordinator but an offensive coordinator as well. Now, as far as the titles go, they are co-coordinators, but this is something that Hugh Freeze does because for someone else, it looks good on a resume. And so Jason Jones is a co-defensive coordinator, and offensive line coach Matt Luke is co-offensive coordinator. But it's really been the more experienced coaches there in Werner and Dave Womack who have been the lead guys as the coordinator positions go. So Hugh Freeze will go into the 2017 season with new coordinators on both sides of the ball. They have not been named yet. Obviously, the offensive position is very new. The defensive position has been vacant since it was announced that that Dave Womack was going to retire. A lot of names have been tossed into the mix, but I guess, Logan, the ones we hear the most are Wes McGriff, the secondary coach at Auburn, who coached with Freeze at Ole Miss in 2012 for that one season and therefore played a really big role in that 2013 signing class. But he left the staff that year to take a job with the New Orleans Saints, and right now he's at Auburn. It's his first year there as secondary coach. His name has been mentioned quite a bit, as has Jim Leavitt, the defensive coordinator at Colorado. So still no official hiring in that position, and we'll see when these positions are announced moving forward. But that's the breaking news of the day at Ole Miss. The other, though, we mentioned Barney Ferrer, okay, administrative assistant. He has been on leave since November 16th as part of the NCAA investigation. His name, Logan, kind of came to the front on draft night when Laramie Tunsil's social media accounts were hacked, and a conversation between Tunsil and Director of Football Operations John Miller was leaked. And it was in that conversation that that Tunsil was asking for money to help pay for his mother's rent and utilities. And Barney Ferrer's name came about there when, in one of those responses, John Miller said, "See Barney next week." So, yeah, that's all part of the NCAA investigation. And it was announced also today that that Barney Ferrer will not return to the staff.
Yeah, and for Mississippi State, it hadn't been coaching personnel changes, but it has been player personnel changes. Had a few of those over the last few days. You know, and you see that sometimes, you know, at the end of a season, you know, players aren't happy with playing time or whatever, and can sort of see some writing on the wall or whatever, and want to pursue, you know, elsewhere. And that's kind of happened with Mississippi State. And what's shocking, Parrish, is two of them been quarterbacks. And obviously, Mississippi State had that whole circumstance with, you know, had four quarterbacks, hadn't decided who was going to be the starter going into the year. Had four quarterbacks, you know, vying for that starting position. Elijah Staley transfers out in August, transfers to Tyler Junior College out of Texas. So that left three. And found out right before the Egg Bowl that Damian Williams was said that that was going to be his final game in maroon and white. So he still has another year of eligibility. I imagine he'll transfer out and you know, try to play that last year somewhere else. And what was shocking to me, though, Parrish, was the announcement of Nick Tiano, the redshirt freshman, decided to transfer back home to UT Chattanooga. So he will go back home and play. He was a redshirt freshman, but only got to play in one game at quarterback this year. I think he saw action in about five games. Most of those were as the holder late in the year with some injuries to Logan Cook. But the only game he got to play in at quarterback was late in that game against Auburn when State was getting blown out. He completed one pass for 5 yards. But the team really gravitated towards him, and I actually thought he was going to be Mississippi State's quarterback of the future. I mean, he had that Dak kind of quality where, you know, the team respected him. He had the leadership and all of that. And I just thought he had the makings of State's next quarterback, but that's not going to come to pass. And Mississippi State's going to really need Keaton Thompson to come in January and learn how to be the backup early high school graduate. He's a 4-star guy. You know, 6'4", 6'5", you know, about 225 right now. You know, so he's got the frame and certainly put up a huge year. In fact, he's still playing in the Louisiana playoffs right now and just having a monster season. I mean, it's unbelievable the stats this guy's putting up. But they're going to need him to come in and be ready to play because he's going to be a play away next season of being the guy, of being Nick Fitzgerald's backup. And another guy that announced his transfer is Anthony Mullins. He's a defensive end, Viper kind of guy. Really didn't play. He only played in three games this year. Didn't record any stats in those three games. He was a redshirt freshman. He's going to transfer out. Didn't really know where he's going to go at this moment. But, you know, three guys transferring out, and we'll have to see if there's any more. Obviously, John Michael Hankerson has put himself in a position to where he may not be back with the team. He's suspended indefinitely right now, Parrish. He's been arrested twice in the last week, one of them with a simple assault trespassing charge on November the 30th with an altercation with another student on campus. And then on Tuesday, he was arrested once again for false pretense. And that also occurred on campus. So he's in trouble with the football team, and he's in trouble with the university. So it's a chance that he's probably not going to be back as a football player and may not be back at Mississippi State as a student. So he's probably going to be elsewhere, too. He's redshirting this season. He's a safety, guy that he grew up in Starkville, and his family moved up to South Bend, Indiana. He's probably not going to be back. I don't look to see him back on the team either.
Well, Ole Miss, we haven't seen just a lot of transfers come out yet. And, a lot of eyes on Jason Pellerin right now because he was a redshirt freshman this season, and he obviously did not win out in that quarterback competition with Shea Patterson. And, you're a redshirt freshman, man. You got a lot of your window of time still open, so to speak. And, if you're playing behind a guy who's only going to be a sophomore next year, there's a lot of speculation that Pellerin could transfer. And if that is the case, well, that certainly, creates a quarterback depth issue at Ole Miss. They'll be limited to freshmen and newcomers behind Shea Patterson as well. They get very thin there next season if there were to be an injury to Patterson and Pellerin is not around. And that's all speculation. Don't know what's going, how that will play out. I'll tell you, Logan, I liked what I saw in Jason Pellerin this season, and I thought he improved from the beginning of the season to the end. I thought he was a better passer. Clearly, Shea Patterson is the future at Ole Miss. And you could just see that in the three games that he played, two 300-yard games in those three starts. And really, if his receivers catch the ball better at Vanderbilt, there's another probably 330 or 40 yards there and probably a win. But that was an issue at the end of the season for whatever reason. These receivers that are a deep and talented group were struggling. Look, there weren't a lot of things that I was really really good at as a high school athlete, but I could catch the ball. I could do that, and so I'm pretty hard on these college guys in both sports. I think if you're there and you're in a position and you get the hands on the ball, you're supposed to make the catch. Catching the ball is about focus and concentration and sometimes physicality. We look at going back to the Egg Bowl, two interceptions thrown by Shea Patterson. They will forever be on his record, but they shouldn't be because I go back to that Jamal Peters interception in the end zone, and I thought that Quincy Adebojo just made no play at all. Not only did he not catch the ball, which was slightly underthrown, but had he just turned around and put an arm in there or a hand in there, maybe he prevents the interception on that play. And the second interception that was returned for a touchdown, Akeem Judd is just bobbling a screen pass, just can't get a handle on it, just bobbling it, keeping it in the air, and all of a sudden it's picked off and returned for a touchdown. So, a good three games for Shea Patterson.
Yeah, for Mississippi State, like I mentioned earlier, they're going to get cranked up with bowl practice on Friday evening. The first two practices are the only two that have been announced so far, and they're going to be closed. Most of the bowl practices in the past for Dan Mullen have been open, but these first two I know for sure are going to be closed. So, not going to get to a look at the first two practices. We'll have to see about next week. State's going to practice here in Starkville for, until December the 17th, and then they'll take a few days off. And I think they have to report to St. Petersburg on the 21st. So they'll practice December 22nd through, I think they're going to take Christmas Day off. I hadn't seen the schedule past beyond this upcoming Saturday yet, but they'll have the game on the 26th. Terrible day to, it'll be the first time I miss Christmas with my family, and my daughter's not very happy. But it's one of those things where, you just have to do what you have to do. And I think we're going to try to have a Christmas before I leave to head down there. I'm going to leave on the 21st as well, heading down there. And I do have some family in the Tampa area. Obviously, I'll be missing my daughter as well. But, for Mississippi State, they're playing a Miami of Ohio team that kind of a strange season, Paris. Went 0-6 to start the year and finished the season 6-6. And I hadn't really done a whole lot of research yet on Miami, you know, other than, you know, their 0-6 and 6-0 type of season that they had. Mississippi State, with the way they played offensively late in the year, I think they have to like their chances on that side of the ball. Obviously, they've got a lot to shore up on the defensive side. But I know, you know, just talking to the players immediately after the Egg Bowl, that's the last time I was able to have any interaction with any coaches or players. I hadn't had any availability since then. Yeah, you know, Mississippi State is excited about making this postseason.
Shifting gears a little bit, Ole Miss basketball on the road Sunday morning at Virginia Tech. Last time the Rebels played basketball at Virginia Tech, I really thought I was going to miss my flight home. I heard David Brandt telling this story on Head to Head earlier this week, and he and I were traveling together. He was the Ole Miss beat writer for the Clarion Ledger at the time. He's now with the Associated Press. We had gone up there, and Ole Miss had won in the NIT quarterfinals, a big hostile environment against a Tech team that was the number one seed in that bracket, so they were playing at home. Ole Miss went up there, got a really good game from Chris Warren, won the quarterfinal game, which sent them on to the NIT Final Four in New York. The next day, David Brandt and I are having lunch at a place downtown in Blacksburg that we had enjoyed the day before, and lo and behold, we get out to the car, and David has locked the keys in the trunk. So, you know, we had to call a locksmith to come out, and eventually we got back on schedule. We were sweating it there for a minute that we were going to miss our flight. We happened to be traveling together. But it's a good Virginia Tech team that Ole Miss is going to face this weekend, and be the first true road environment for the Rebels. You know, they've had this week off. When you have that, you have your finals, and then you have basketball. You know, Logan, while you have these talented transfers, they're still transfers, and they haven't played together. Not only have they not played at Ole Miss, they haven't played together. And one of the biggest issues that Andy Kennedy has identified is communication from his players. He thinks he's made some strides with that this week, but you know, we'll get a better picture of that Sunday morning at Virginia Tech. What State got on this week?
Well, State's still got nearly another week before they play again for the men's team. They host East Tennessee State on Wednesday, December the 14th. But, you know, in the last couple of weeks, the entire outlook's changed, especially since we recorded this show last week. I mentioned there was a possibility of Quindary Weatherspoon returning. Well, he did that very night. Played well since State's win over Oregon State last Thursday. And then they scored, you know, I think 14 points against Georgia State on Sunday. His presence on the court has made all the difference in the world for this young basketball team. It's like everybody else on the team has settled into a role when Quindary Weatherspoon's out there on the floor. And he just takes so much of the pressure off of those young freshmen that are out there. I mean, they know who the leader is on the team. You know, just you don't see them pressuring, forcing shots. That they just all kind of settle in. Sunday against Georgia State, Lamar Peters came off the bench. I mean, obviously, he was in a little bit of a hot water, been suspended twice already this season, came off the bench, scored 24 points in 26 minutes off the bench. So I think he had 6 threes, was 6 of 9 from three-point range in that ball game. And, you know, everybody's kind of fell into their role with the return of Weatherspoon. Weatherspoon just is kind of the engine that makes everything else on this basketball team go. And him combined with Ajay Reddy in the backcourt, and they've got their other experienced player who's a true sophomore, Eric Holman down low. You know, I think people are starting – this team's kind of establishing its identity right now. And I think they're just going to continue to get better by the week. They're still young, still trying to find their way. This team's going to continue to get better as long as Weatherspoon can stay healthy, because he's such a key cog.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. This is Parrish Alford. I've been joined with Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State writer. We want you to also check out The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, coming to you 3 times a week. And also Prep Rally for all your high school sports needs. Blake Morgan, Gene Phelps, and Brad Locke. That comes to you every Wednesday. And Logan and I will be back with you in another week for another edition of Double Coverage.